Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. We're so glad you could join us for another episode or for a live broadcasting of Kingdom of God Ministries. I know we've been away for a while, but I have to just take some time off to just relax and just, you know, regroup, and we're back. We are scheduled to do a live deliverance on today. We had two women that had called in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and they wanted deliverance. They're being tormented by evil spirits, but however, one lady, she already canceled. She said she wouldn't be able to come due to the inclement weather. And we're just praying for the other lady that she will be en route. We know we're having some pretty bad weather here on today, but we just ask that the Lord will touch her and give her the perseverance to press on, because we know sometimes Satan will bring obstacles in your way to try to hinder you from getting your deliverance. Father God, we just want to thank you today. We thank you for Kingdom of God Ministries. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power and your grace. Lord God, if it had not been for you, where would we be today? Lord God, we just lift up our listening audience. We lift up our members. We lift up those that are en route to the service on today. We ask that you protect them, put your angels about them. Let no harm, harm, or danger come unto them. Lord God, we just ask that you touch us as we go forth in the anointing and in the word today, that we will be a vessel used by you. Lord God, we just want to thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Just want to make a quick announcement. We are located at 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton, Georgia. We are now currently meeting once a month due to other things, but we're trusting God that we'll be able to meet more. But when we meet on these once-a-month services, we will be doing live deliverances, healing service, whatever the Lord lead us in. So if you have someone that is bound up or possessed, oppressed, depressed, you need to make your way here. You need to be here because we're in the Canton area, and the Lord just showed me, even though there's a lot of churches in the Bible Belt, you don't find a lot of churches that's teaching on deliverance. So this is why you have a lot of people that say they're Christians. They are calling the deliverance ministries because a lot of their pastors don't believe in it. So that ties in with our scripture, our lesson today, the principles of faith. They can teach faith in one area of how to get more stuff, how to get materialism, how to name it and claim it, become a better you, but they don't teach how to be set free from demonic oppression, how to be set free from the power, through the power of God, to break the strongholds off your life. So, yes, you may be going to a church. Yes, you may be plugged in. You may be an usher. You may be singing in the choir. But if you're bound up and oppressed of the devil, what are you doing it for? Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen. So we're coming out of Hebrews 11, the first verse, and I will start to read, and then we will go as the Holy Spirit lead. And we're just praying, so if she should come in and you hear some, you know, speaking or something in the background, we're just thanking her for making her way here today. But we're going to go on as the Lord leads. It says, Hebrews 11 and 1, now by faith, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We heard about this scripture. People quote this scripture. But let's dig a little deeper into what this scripture is saying. For by the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is in by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And I can speak from experience. I kind of know how Abraham was feeling sometimes when God tell you to go out, and he tell you to go, and I sent you to this particular place, and you're saying, okay, God, you sent me there. We're trusting you, and we believe in you. And, you know, a lot of times people think you're crazy. Because they say they have faith, but the church will say, oh, well, be sure God told you to do something. But you have to know with all assurity that God tells you what to do. I wanted to bring out also when it was says the definition or description of grace of faith in two parts. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope go together. And the same things that are the object of hope are the object of our faith. It is a firm persuasion. This is what faith is. It is a firm persuasion, an expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession and present fruition of those things, gives them substance in the soul by the first fruits and foretasters of them, so that believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's how faith is. When you trust in and you believe and you have full confidence that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, you get a spirit of joy because you have that expectation and you believe in that God is, he will reward you. And this is what I was telling the ladies that need the deliverance. You have to come expect.
Observe the ground of Noah's faith, a warning he had received from God of the things as yet not seen. He had a divine revelation, whether by voice or vision, does not appear. But it was such as carried in his own evidence. He was forewarned of the things not seen as yet. That is, a great and severe judgment, such as the world has never seen, and of which in the course of the second causes there was not yet the least sign. So they hadn't even, when he told them it was going to rain, they hadn't even experienced rain. Amen. They hadn't even experienced rain or anything. They didn't know. So when he was saying it's going to rain, they were laughing at him. They were mocking him. The secret warning he was to communicate was to the world, who would be sure to decide for him and his message. God usually warns sinners before. Better believe you're going to get the scorns and the reproaches of the unbelief of the wicked generation. I want to say they're a perverse, wicked generation. They only see faith about, there's a carnal faith that they only believe God for what they can get. But when you start talking about deliverance, and I'm talking about the church, when you start talking about deliverance and casting out devils and healing, they don't believe that part. Now, they'll say, well, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, they'll get to that part, and then the rest of the Bible is like, it goes away. They don't believe the rest of that. Oh, well, they'll tell you that the miracles and the signs of miracles, that fades out with the disciples. Lord, why would Jesus, now, you say you in the army of the Lord, why would any, on the natural realm, why would any natural army send out his soldiers and not prepare them for battle? See, that don't make sense to me. So if God told us to go out, he said he sent them out two by two, and he anointed them that they would cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Why aren't many churches doing that today? Why do we see so many people bowed up, oppressed, depressed, hopeless? Because the church is not doing what it's supposed to do. Yes! We have a church on every corner. You can't drive down the street without seeing every type of denomination, but we see so many people bound. We see people calling in the middle of the night, I need help. I'm being tormented by evil spirits. God does not send his army forth without equipping them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Noah's faith silenced all objections and set him to work in earnest the blessed fruit of the rewards of Noah's faith. Hereby himself and his house were saved when the whole world of sinners were perishing about him because he was moved by faith. He discarded the mockery and discarded. You got to remember, he preached for 140 years. Nowadays, we preach for 40 days and we get
would have been drowned. Amen.
We're just having a lot of technical difficulties, so pray for us. But it was because of Noah's faith that his whole household was saved. I want to say that to you today. You might feel that you're the only believer in your house, in your family, and that nobody else is saved. But you keep interceding. You keep believing. You keep trusting God. Because just like Noah's family was saved, you could save your whole household from damnation. Just keep praying for them and believe. That's where the word faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to believe that God is able to deliver, able to set free our family members. We have to believe that God is able to set free those that are held captive by the hand of the enemy. But you have to believe that. This is why he said you got to first believe it in your heart and then condition that mind to receive it. They go hand in hand. You can't say that I believe God with your mouth, but then your heart is far from it. I want to bring out a few scriptures because there was a particular man in the Bible that whose son was vexed with the devil. And I'm coming out of Mark 23:25. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, and I'm reading out this is the God's Word translation. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. The child's father cried out at once, I believe, help my lack of faith. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he gave an order to the evil spirit. He said, you spirit that won't let him talk, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. If you notice, the child's father cried out at once, I believe. That was the spirit part of him. But he said, help my lack of faith. He had to get his heart in condition to receive. He was looking with his natural eye. And that's what gets us tripped up a lot of times. We start looking with our natural eye. We start seeing things with our natural eye. And to that father, if you ever been a parent or you have a child who's been in some kind of situation where you don't know how to get help, you don't know where to go, that was a desperate situation. So this father was saying, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And we have to get to this point that say, Lord, I know who you are. I know you're able to deliver me. Lord, help me to receive what you're going to do in my life. And this is where that man, this is where he was. An evil spirit cast out. The father of the suffering youth reflected on the want of power in the disciples. See, he went to the disciples first, but they couldn't get it out because they were kind of dealing with unbelief. Even though they walked and talked with Jesus, they seen the miracles, they seen the healing, they still had an element of unbelief. He said, but Christ will have him reckon the disappointment of the one of their of faith. Very much is promised to our believing. If thou canst believe, it is possible that thy hard heart may be softened, thy spiritual diseases may be cured, and the weak as thou art, thou mayest be able to hold out to the end. Those that complain of unbelief must look up to Christ for grace to help them against it, and grace will be sufficient for them. Whom Christ cures, he cures effectually. But Satan is unwilling to be driven from those that have been long his slaves. See, he don't want to let them go. And when he cannot deceive or destroy the sinner, he will cause him all the terror that he can. The disciples must not think to do their work always with the same ease. Some services call for more than ordinary pains, meaning that sometimes you may have to fast and pray. It ain't going to be a quick fix. And I'm going to tell you something. When you want deliverance, when this man went to Jesus for his son to be set free, he didn't come up there with his own conditions. He didn't tell him, well, you know, I would come, but you're going to have to just, do it the way I want you to do it. No, he was desperate, and he cried out. He wanted that vexing demonic spirit taken off of his son. And this is how we have to get to. Sometimes when We have some particular spirits. We know we may have to fast. We may have to pray. God is able to cast it out, but that person has to get them their heart conditioned and ready to receive the deliverance. Because, see, that devil have held them captive for so long, he started talking to their mind. Oh, you ain't going to get delivered today. Well, you need to just stay in the bed. You'll be okay. Because he don't want you to get around the saints. He don't want you to get around the man of God to get that cast out, because he want to keep that as his house. So he know if you go around the man of God to get that cast off of you, then he won't have a dwelling place anymore. Think about it. Think about slavery, back in the slavery times, how they would put the chains on people and they would brand you and you become their property. And if you tried to escape, they would find you and identify you by that property. Well, that's how the devil thinks. He has put a claim on your life, and he don't want to let you go. So he's going to put all kinds of obstacles to keep you from getting around the assembling of the fellowship of the saints. He's going to put stumbling blocks. He's going to throw the weather out there. He's going to tell you your body ain't feeling good. He's going to tell you you got a headache. Oh, you don't need to go, because he wants to claim your soul as his own. We have to wake up, saints. We have to persevere. We have to press out there. If you want deliverance, you're going to have to press forward. You can't just get it in ease. This is what he was telling the disciples. Sometimes he said, these kinds come out by much fasting and prayer. You might have to pray. You may have to fast. But you have to see yourself being totally set free and delivered. Amen. Mark 9:38-41, John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone forcing demons out of a person by using the power and authority of your name. We tried to stop him because he was not one of us. Jesus said, don't stop him. No one who works a miracle in my name can turn around and speak evil of me. Whoever isn't against us is for us. Understand that. If you over here casting out demons and healing the sick and doing what the Bible tells you to do, don't rebuke somebody because you ain't doing it, so don't you put your mouth on somebody that is doing it. It's sad that people sit up on the pastors and the pastor will not pray and deliver them from a lot of these demonic oppressions. They got to go and find somebody that would be able to do that. That is not the Bible. They went to Jesus. They went to the disciples. Jesus told them, bring the boy to me. Amen. I can guarantee this, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And then over here in Mark 6:1-6, and I'm just reading some scriptures to build your faith and build your, if she was here, these are the scriptures that God gave me to help her so she could receive her deliverance. Matthew 17:20, he told them, because you have so little faith, I can guarantee this truth. If your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And it's the same reiterated over here in 11, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What I want to do over in James, it says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Luke 10:16-20, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. So this, you see, God has already equipped us to be effective when we go and fight battle with the enemy. He has already won the battle. We just are really vessels that he used. But through his name, demons are subject through his name. And with that, I want to turn this part over to Pastor Bobby. Amen. Keep me in prayer. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
And basically what we're talking about today is the principles of faith. And I thank the Lord for what has been brought out already, because in that is what we need really to be delivered from things that we cannot see. Now, it has been brought up in reference to faith and what it is, for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 and 1. But we want to get into that a little bit, because we have faith, we have man's faith or human faith, and we also have the God kind of faith, which was discussed earlier and what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. Now, one thing I want to bring out is we're talking about the principles of faith. And so when we say the principles of faith, what are we talking about? What are we talking about when we say principles? When we say principles, we are talking about professed rules of action or conduct. We're also talking about the general law or truth from which others are derived. And it says principle also means a personal specific basis of conduct or management. It also means guiding sense of the requirements of and obligations of right. Another thing I want to bring out in reference to principle is that it is in reference to rules for right conduct as a matter of moral principle, according to a fixed rule, method, or practice. So when you're talking about principles of faith, we're talking about the right way to use faith, or the proper method of faith, or the righteousness in faith through Christ Jesus. So we're talking about a principle or the right way, the correct way to operate in the realm of faith. Now, there are faith that is human, and that is the faith of Jesus Christ of what we do in reference to the kingdom of God. Now, the thing about human faith, there is a faith that is human. But human faith, most of the time and really all of the time, deals with the five senses. It does not deal with what cannot be seen. That's human faith. If you say you have faith to get a house, you have faith for the house because you see the house. It's not faith, the God kind of faith, but you can't get the house. You don't see the house. You don't have the money for the house, but yet God says he's going to give it to you, but you don't see it. You don't have the human means to get it. You can't get it by your human means, but yet you believe in God for what you do not see. That is the Christ kind of faith. Human faith is temporal. Human faith is carnal. Human faith is based on the five senses. Human faith has a cutoff. Listen to me. Human faith has a cutoff. In other words, if the circumstances says it doesn't look like I'm going to get what I'm believing for, you cut it off. But in God and in Christ, faith has no cutoff. In other words, the faith that we're talking about in Jesus Christ is in the realm of impossibilities. In other words, you don't see what you're believing for. It is the same type of faith that Noah had, that Abraham had, that Moses had, that Joshua had. All of our forefathers had the God kind of faith. Now, I'm not talking about the God kind of faith that you twist God's arm and you place yourself above God and you say that God will do what I say do. That's not God's faith. That's leaning towards human faith. Hallelujah. We're talking about the principles of faith. So I'm going to get into that a little bit. Now, I said the faith that Noah had, and it was brought out a little bit now, there was no such thing as rain before the flood. Nobody has seen any water falling from heaven to the earth. None. The land was watered by the dew of the earth, by the mist of the ground. God did that. There was no water. There was no rainwater. But God told Noah there was going to be a flood. God told Noah that it was going to rain. God told Noah to build the ark because it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. Not only would it rain, but the depths of the earth would open up and the flood would come up out of the earth as geysers. Water would come up out of the earth. Noah had never, ever seen anything like that. Noah could have said, well, I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. That's not going to happen. But Noah believed God. He heard God. He believed God. He had faith. The God kind of faith. The faith that produces belief in something that you don't see, that you don't feel, and it's not carnal. It's based on the spirit realm. Okay? So that's what happened with Noah. The same thing happened with Moses. Now, the children of Israel was in bondage in Egypt. Now, when they were in bondage in Egypt, the things that God said was going to happen, they never saw it. The Egyptians never saw it. They never saw the 10 plagues that came upon them. Moses didn't see that. He didn't know anything about that. But when God told him to stretch out his rod over Egypt, he didn't see it, but it came to pass. That was faith. That was faith. That was the kind of faith that will get you delivered. You cannot look at your particular circumstance. You cannot always look at what the devil is doing and give him credit for what he's doing. You cannot always look at how you feel. You cannot always act on what you see. You cannot always act on what people say about you. You have to exercise the faith of God. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on what you hear. It's not based on what you feel. It's based on Jesus Christ. It's based on your belief on and in Jesus Christ and what he says in his word. If Jesus said he's going to heal you, stop talking about the pain. If the Lord said he's going to give you a financial blessing, don't look at the welfare check. Don't look at the lack of money in your pocket. Don't look at the poverty that you're in. You have faith in God. And something else I have to say, don't even look at how you're going to receive what God said you're going to receive. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. Let me say this also. When we're talking about faith, and we're talking about belief, many people are so hung up in their denominations, they're so hung up in their religion, they're so stuck up in their tradition that they won't even believe the word of God. They don't even believe what Jesus said. If it's not in line with the pastor, now I'm not talking about pastors that are preaching the truth, that are operating in faith, that are moving according to the Holy Ghost, that are obedient to God. I'm talking about people who, when God and Christ says something, they got something else to say. No, we can't be like that. We can't deal like that. We can't have a mindset like that. We have to have the mind of Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus was obedient to the Father in everything that the Father told him. So we must be obedient to Christ in everything that Christ tells us. And if Christ has told us by his stripes we are healed, guess what? By his stripes we are healed, regardless of what it looks like. Remember what I said? Human faith is based on what we see. The faith of Jesus Christ is based on what we don't see. For the scripture tells us that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, what are the things that are not seen? The things that are not seen are the things in the spirit realm that when we trust in God and we believe in Christ Jesus, he is the one who brings those things into fruition. Into fruition, because it is the realm that can only be reached by the Spirit and by the Holy Ghost. And you have to have faith for that. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit of what faith is. Now, it says, I'll say it like this. We just read Hebrews 11. Now, I just read into it, say what it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, did you notice that faith involves evidence of things not seen? Substance is assurance. Faith involves an assurance of things hoped for. But if something is hoped for, that something has not yet been received. Therefore, while faith is involved, there is an assurance that it will be received. Don't let the devil tell you that God's word is not true. Don't let the devil tell you that God will not set you free. Don't let the devil tell you that he has all the power. Don't let the devil tell you that you will never be set free, that you can't be saved, that you can't be filled, that you can't be delivered. Don't let the devil tell you these things. Don't let him constantly point to carnal things in reference to your spiritual deliverance. Don't do that, because that is not faith. Now it says, but how can evidence be related to something that is not seen? Do we not rather think of evidence as involving things that are seen? Listen, in a courtroom, evidence is what can be proven. It involves facts visible to a jury. In other words, evidence only involves things that can be seen or demonstrated. It says, how then can faith involve evidence that is invisible, not seen? Listen. Faith involves evidence in the following way. Real faith in any promise made by God is actually the evidence. It is the belief that is the evidence. It is the belief that is, listen, it is the belief that is the evidence. If God promises to do something, it is impossible for him to lie. Hebrews 6:18, you hear that? Did you hear that? If God promises to do something, it is impossible for him to lie. So there your faith lies in that. When God tells you something, regardless of what it looks like, guess what? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. For everybody out there that needs deliverance, Jesus already said that he came to set the captive free. The anointing destroys the yoke. That's the word of God. That's what God said. Now, since God said that, guess what? That's what he's going to do. But you got to believe and receive that by faith in God, in Christ Jesus. Believe the word of God. Believe the Holy Ghost. Believe Jesus Christ. Believe God. And he will set you free. He will deliver you. He will make you whole. You do not have to be demon-possessed, depressed, or oppressed. You don't have to be full of disease. You don't have to be infirm. Now, we know some people get sick. We know some people have diseases. But that is not something that has to be. Because we are children of the Most High God. Because we have the Spirit of God living within us. And not only that, we have the authority of Christ Jesus given to us by Christ Jesus. In other words, we have authority and power over the enemy. And not only that, the Lord says that nothing shall any means hurt us. What is that saying? Nothing shall by any means separate us from the love of God. In other words, nothing can take us out of the hands of Jesus Christ. Nobody, nothing can separate us from the love of God unless, listen to me now, unless you turn away. Jesus Christ said, he said this, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ also said, no one, nothing can take anybody out of his hand. So what is that saying? That's saying if something happens to you, if you fall away from Christ and God, it's your fault. You turned away. Jesus didn't do it. God didn't do it. I had to say that because your faith should keep you, and it will keep you, grounded in Christ Jesus, grounded in his word, grounded in his spirit. That's what we're talking about, the principles of faith. I'm not talking about this kind of faith where you are twisting God's arm for what you want. If you read the scripture, you find out that faith involves God's will toward men. Faith also involves men's will toward God and obeying what the Lord said. It involves believing in what you can't see, believing in things that are impossible. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe, or all things are possible to them who exercise faith according to what God said faith is. Let me read something else to you. How? Your evidence that he will perform it is the very unwavering faith that you hold. Faith is the evidence. If you have true Christian faith, you do not need to search for the evidence. You already possess it. I want to bring out some other scriptures to you here since we're talking about faith. Because even though we believe in the things that we do not see, we believe all things are possible in God, and it is true, it is something that we have to do. Because I will say this to you. If you are the kind of believer that believes that things is going to happen in your life and you don't have to do anything, then you're going to have to search yourself and search the scriptures. I'm coming out of James 1, and I'm going to start right at the second verse, and I'm going to read on until the Lord says stop. Say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, something I want to bring out. When James is talking about wisdom, James is not talking about earthly wisdom or carnal wisdom. James is talking about wisdom by and through the Holy Ghost, by and through the Spirit, by and through Jesus. Now, Jesus said something. Jesus said something is where he said, there was none wiser than Solomon on all the earth. But Jesus said, a wiser than Solomon is here. Jesus was talking about himself. So if Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived in reference to natural carnal things, then Jesus Christ supersedes the knowledge and wisdom of this world. Why? Because he is the Son of God, and he created everything that was created, and he knows everything, both naturally and spiritually. So Jesus Christ's wisdom is what we should seek. And James said that he will give you that. Now, let me bring it home. I hear people saying you can't be as wise as Jesus Christ. You can have a portion of that wisdom in reference to your life and in reference to other people, in reference to strength, in reference to the Holy Ghost, and in reference to discerning of spirits, whether they be evil or good. That is the wisdom that James was talking about. It is not a carnal wisdom. It is not the wisdom that you learn in school. It is not the wisdom that you learn through natural life. It is not the wisdom. It's not common sense. It surpasses all of earthly wisdom. All right? Then it said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavering is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Now, James said the double-minded is not going to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because a double-minded person is constantly switching between carnal and spiritual. Between carnal and spiritual. At one time, his faith is up. But when he sees something that goes against his faith or what he believes or says no, he over that way. When he sees something that says yes in the realm of the spirit, he over that way. The devil brings something else to him, he's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. His faith is not steadfast in Christ because he's been manipulated and because he's been controlled and because he is acting in reference to what's happening around him. And when you act like that, you're not getting anything from God because your faith is not where it should be. So we can't be like that. We cannot be that way. Now, something else that I want to bring out. Now, and faith is unchanging. It doesn't change. I'm talking about the God kind of faith. When God says all things are possible to them that believe, he means that. But it's not based on what you see. And to give you an example, we can go all back through the scripture, and I'm going to read some more things out of Hebrew here because it basically covers just about the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation because it goes into things that happened way back when. Now, it's something that I want you to believe now. Listen at this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now listen. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Enoch was a man that walked and talked with God. Now imagine the things that Enoch and that God shared with Enoch. Now some of the things that Enoch said were written down, and some of the things that were written down, some of the apostles and even Jesus Christ went back to some of the words that Enoch said. Because Enoch was walking and talking with God. What does that sound like? Adam used to walk and talk with God, but Adam fell. Enoch walked and talked with God, and he didn't fall. Why? Because he had a kind of faith, and God saw it and recognized it and rewarded him by walking and talking with him and sharing things of the kingdom with Enoch. Glory to God. And it pleased God. Now, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Going on down through the line. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now think about this. You're going to just get up. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what's going on. And you're going to just get up and start walking. Somebody told you to start walking. A lot of people will say, that doesn't make sense. Some people will say, God gave you five senses. Some people will say, you have lost your mind. You fell and hit your head on something. Now, I'm not doing that. That doesn't make any sense. But Abraham did it. Why? Because he believed God. Why? Because he had faith in God. Why? Because he believed in the true and living God. And he exercised that by obedience. And so by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Listen. Listen to scripture here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, all right, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his death, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Listen, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to get into this a little bit. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused all the wealth and the riches, the royalty, the fame, the dignitaries of Egypt, being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He left all of it for God. He left all of it for what he did. Now, he knew what he had in Egypt. Moses knew where he stood in Egypt, but he refused it all for God and accepted a life, many times, of poverty, a life that was lower than the royal status that he was in. You see? You see? Do you see? Children, listen, children rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, I just said that, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember, children of the Most High God, sin is for a season. Just like I said about human faith, it's seasonal. It depends on what's going on at the moment. That's human faith. It depends on which way the stock market is going. It depends on which way the value of the dollar goes. That's human faith. It depends on which way the housing market goes up and down. That's human faith. It depends on how you look right now. It depends on the styles of the time. That's human faith. But the kind of faith that God is talking about and the principles of faith that we're talking about is not based on any of that. And that's what Hebrews 11 is talking about. Let me read some more here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do, drowned. They were drowned trying to do what God told his people to do. Look. When God tells you to do something, people, do it. What God has told you to do, he didn't tell that other person. So you got to be obedient to what God tells you. Because another person can't do what God told you to do. And it's the same thing in reference to your deliverance. If God tells you to go somewhere to be delivered, obey the Lord. Because God has already given that deliverance to that person that he's sending you to. Stop running all over the world for deliverance. Seek God, obey God, and you'll be set free. Your faith is in Christ Jesus. It's not in any man. I'll say it again. Your faith is in Christ Jesus. It is not in any man. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. It's in Christ. Your whole being, your whole deliverance, your salvation, your sanctification is in Christ Jesus. That's all we can offer you is Christ Jesus and him crucified. His resurrection. His birth. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you right now. It is not his will that you don't exercise the faith that he has given you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand in the authority that Christ has given you. Exercise the faith that Jesus has given you. He's given it to you. Move in it. Act on it. Believe it. For something more than a dollar bill. For something more than a car or a house, carnal things that's going to pass away. Trust him for things in the spirit. Trust him for things of deliverance. Trust him for strength in the word. Trust him for strength in the movement of the spirit in your life. Trust him in prayer. Be diligent in prayer. Trust him in fasting. Glory to God. Have faith in those areas. Have faith in the realm of the spirit. Sometime. Do it. Try it. You'll like it. You'll be pleased. You'll be happy to see God moving in your life in a spiritual realm. Not just some things of the carnal that's going to pass away. What we've been reading, all the patriarchs put back, put away, left things of a carnal nature. Now, I'll say this. When you Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say seek the things. He said seek him. Now, when you seek God and Christ according to his will, guess what? He'll bless you with some things. But it's got to be in the right order. It's got to be according to the wisdom of God. If not, what's going to happen is that the enemy will sneak in and cause you to operate more in human faith, more in a false faith than what Christ is talking about. Now, I'm going to read some more things to you because Paul is bringing faith out where if you don't believe, you refuse to believe. And that's just it. Because it's not based on what's being seen. And everything that he's talking about, it's not based on what's seen. It's based on what's not seen. Now, let me go a little more, and then we'll be out of your way. Okay. All right. Say, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, went valiant in faith, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us. That they, without us, should not be made perfect without. Now listen, I'm going to get out of the way for just a moment, and I'm going to I'm going to bring out some more things, but this is what I was talking about. Everything that was just mentioned was not something that could be done by human faith, that could be done by things that they saw. Do you not know that when Moses and Joshua went over to the promised land, they went up against beings? And the scripture mentioned it. Go back and read it. They went up against giants that made Goliath look like a child. But they defeated these great giants. Now, these great giants, they weren't stupid. All they knew was war. All they knew was destruction. All they knew was how to fight. All they knew was warfare. But yet, Joshua and Caleb, when they went over into the promised land, the Lord gave them strategies to defeat these giants, and they defeated them. But there were people that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they exercised a lack of faith. When they went over into the promised land, they saw these giants and they immediately said what they couldn't do. Now, in the natural realm, in human faith, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But when you operate in the realm of the spirit, when you operate in the Jesus kind of faith, when you operate in God's faith, then you can do the impossible. And that's the reason why you cannot look at the circumstance. Now, I'm going to read a few things, and then we're going to close it out. Now, second thought, I'm going to allow my better half to do this part. Amen. But anyway, what I want to bring out is the principles of faith is not the principles of this world system. Amen. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen. And we're coming to the conclusion of this broadcast, and hope it's been a blessing to you. But I just want to point out there's a movement going on, and I'll call the name, I'm sure you know of it. But it requires they're teaching negative. It's an error the way they teach faith. Like the Gnostic heresies, these are 10 reasons to reject this particular doctrine. That, like the Gnostic heresies, all through the ages, word of faith needs special knowledge in order to be effective. They'll tell you the leaders see themselves as having a commission to bring new spiritual revelation to the body, just like what Pastor Bobby was saying about the wisdom. They say they have this kind of divine revelation that only they can give to you to get you out this malaise of thinking. Well, if you have faith in God, in Jesus Christ, God will get you to the point where you believe, just like we will read about the pioneers of faith. We don't need no one man telling us that they have all the wisdom, all this hidden revelation, that they can lead us into some kind of divine revelation. That is an error. Number two, it makes the Almighty God and Creator a weak faith being who is at the mercy of his own universal laws. Although word of faith ministers speak of God in a personal way, they treat him like an impersonal energy source with forces that can be operated by use of laws, laws which even God has to obey in order to create and run his universe. God, they say, has left the control of the planet in man's hand and is powerless to intervene without a covenant partner. If you cut on the TV, televangelists, that's all they teach about, covenant partner, covenant partner, covenant partner. If you want to sow this seed, you got to sow this $1,000 seed, become a covenant partner. And then when you become a covenant partner, you're going to get all this stuff. It's an error. Reason three, it makes the divine Son of God into a born-again man who had to die in hell to pay the price for our treason. That is an error. Jesus, according to the word of faith doctrine, discarded his divine powers and walked the earth as a mere man filled with the Spirit. He had to use the word and the laws of faith to do miracles. See, this is error. When he died, his blood did not atone. That is blasphemy. But he had to take upon himself the very sin nature of the devil, causing his spirit to die, and suffer 3 days and nights of hellish torment as a man before the Father gave the command for him to be recreated as a born-again man. That is an error. You need to run from this. This is demonic. It's a demonic teaching, and I don't even know why we embrace it in the Christian circle, because it's cultic belief. It elevates man to the equality with Jesus. A conscious of the Jesus died spirituality doctrine is that all born-again Christians stand in the same place of power and authority as Jesus. They don't even, you know, they got to the point where you can just name it, claim it, give what you want, and God is trying to raise the church up to a higher elevation where we need to trust him. Get off this corner mindset. You go by some of these churches, they're so packed out because they cater to the corner, the humanistic thinking, the mindset. You can have more stuff. Eat, have your steak on your plate while you wait. I want my pie now. I don't want to wait till I go to heaven. This is contrary to what we just read in Hebrews, where some of them died. Some of them was sawed in two. Some of them was persecuted for the gospel's sake. However, they teach an opposite, another doctrine that we shouldn't even embrace as Christians. God wants to get us to a place to totally trust, rely on, have confidence in him, not of our own power, not of our own might, but through the might of Jesus Christ. Get out of that thinking that you can become actualized, self-actualized. You can have it if you believe it. You can achieve it. You can receive it. These are part of our New Age theology that we need to get out of our thinking. Yes, God wants us to be prosper. He wants us to prosper even as our soul should prosper. But first of all, like Pastor was saying, you need to get to the point where you want to trust God. You want to get in the Word. You want to grow. You want to be in the spiritual realm. Stop with all this carnal. We talked three weeks ago about the carnal mind. And this is what I see dominating the church is a lot of carnality. You can't even get past. And you talk about growing in faith. But if God can't get you to a point where you can trust him in every area of your life, I'm not just talking about when you need a house, need a car, need some money, but you need to even trust God when you give your money. You need to even trust God when you press out there and you're doing the things of God. And you may not see anything happening like with Noah, but he kept preaching. He kept preaching for 120 years because he had faith in God. You cannot grow spiritually if you still carnal. If God can't get you, and a lot of times they say, well, it's more to it than just giving. Yes, it is. But God is looking at your whole life. God is looking at how are you faithful. Are you faithful in your giving? Are you faithful in your service? These guys in the Testament, Hebrews, they were faithful in every area of their life. That's how God rewarded them. I wanted to bring that out. Here's number 7. It makes redemption into a restoration of dominion. And you can read it for yourself. All you need to do is Google the false doctrine of the Word of Faith movement. And you will see. And it will give you reasons why you need to run from that teaching. Because it can get your mind so twisted that you'll start relying on your own strength and your own capabilities rather than relying and trusting on Jesus Christ. So with that, we're going to close it out. We hope that you enjoyed the broadcast. Like we said, we're doing it in faith. We come here to you as the Lord leads. We don't meet here at the center every week, but we do come. And for those of you who want to come and want to participate and want to hear the word of God, come. But we don't force you. We're not going to twist your arm. We're just vessels of the Most High God. And if God send you, praise God, and if he don't, praise God. We're going to still keep teaching the word of God until Jesus comes back. So with that, we're going to close it out, and we just thank you for listening, Father God. We thank you for this broadcast on today. We thank you that you're strengthening us to do your work, Lord God. We ask that as we go to our individual home, that you will protect us, that you will keep us, that you will guide us, Lord God, and we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name, and we will see you again. We will not broadcast next week, but we will see you again. Keep us in prayer. Amen.